We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run Finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
This hour of the Mark Reardon Show is sponsored by Gamma Tree Experts. Your trees deserve the best care. Call Gamma Tree Experts.
How few of the human race have ever had an opportunity of choosing a system of government for themselves.
They're acting like they're bigger than government.
Mark Reardon.
Pay attention to science, 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 and science.
Whoa, whoa, slow down. I'm a scientist, and that was still fast.
The Mark Reardon Show is on now.
It's on. Is this thing on? It is. It's on right now, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to get going here for a Thursday edition of the show. I'm ready to go. Sue Thomas in the house with a very bright pink top on.
It's right? Sweater. It's a sweater.
It is a sweater.
And
sorry,
it's that kind
sure.
of day.
It is, you know, I dress my daughter when my wife's out of town. Sometimes I do when my wife is in town. But yeah, the weather has turned just a little bit. And it looks like it's probably not going back too quickly here. Now we're going to get into fall weather, which I think is good. But you know as well as I do, it'll be in like the 30s probably in 10 days.
No!
Although deer season's coming up, and I do want some cooler weather for that. How are you, Klein?
I'm good.
Everything going well here
I
on
can't
this Thursday?
Complain. Yeah, it's good.
I'm almost in need sometimes on the show because we have a lot to get to this afternoon. I'm in need of a bit of a roulette wheel just to figure out where to start. But I'm going to start with Condi Rice. Condi Rice was on what I've often called the most political, definitive political talk show in America, The View. And I want to play this because this happened yesterday and I didn't fit it in. And I've heard it a few times today and I saw it get out there on Twitter. And I thought, you know what? This probably is one of the best, if not the best, responses about critical race theory that I've heard. And this is kind of a lesson. I'm going to use this as a lesson to those of you out there who are trying to fight some of this nonsense out there. Parents, you know, those of you being investigated by the FBI, and we'll get to Merrick Garland in a second. But sometimes you just have to simplify it. And Condi Rice simplified it quite a bit.
One of the worries that I have about the way that we're talking about race is that it either seems so big that somehow white people now have to feel guilty for everything that happened in the past. I don't think that's very productive. Or black people have to feel disempowered by race. I would like black kids to be completely empowered, to know that they are beautiful in their blackness. But in order to do that, I don't have to make white kids feel bad for being white. So somehow this is a conversation that has gone in the wrong direction.
Is that hard? Is it that hard to do that? Do you have to make the white kids, like my 6.5-year-old, feel guilty for being white by teaching black history and American history in the way that progressives would like you to? No, you don't have to.
No.
You can do both. What those of us who are domestic terrorists are saying, just to be clear, because I'm gonna own that label, is we're saying we're not trying to fight you from teaching any history.
No, that's not the point at all.
Not one bit of history are we trying to. We're trying to make you teach it without forcing white kids or mixed race children, or by being racist against black kids and separating people up. It alienates them as well. That's what we're asking you to do. Now, this brings us to our attorney general, who there's a lot of things that have gone wrong in this administration, but this guy is a complete joke. And how somebody, I won't mention any names, Barack Obama, thought that he should be the Supreme. I don't know how anyone could have thought after listening to this testimony today that Merrick Garland would be qualified to sit on the United States Supreme Court. He was a complete mess today. It was a joke.
What
it
did
really
he say? Was he ill-spoken or was he just saying dumb things?
Well, we're going to get to some of the audio here. So this is where the Democrats on the committee try to give him a window to say, I'll start with this, to say, look, we're not trying to investigate parents. That's not what I meant.
75% of the black boys in the state of California cannot pass standard reading and writing tests. That's a big shift. And the difference is, in those days when I was growing up, parents were involved. There was a trust that we can send our kids to school and they'll be taught how to love our country, love each other, and love education. That has been changed drastically.
All right, so this is Congressman Burgess Owens.
Attorney General Garland, do you agree with the National School Board Association, the parents who attend school board meetings and speak passionately against the inclusion of divisive programs like critical race theory, should be characterized as domestic terrorists?
I do not believe that parents who testify, speak, argue with, complain about school boards and schools should be classified as domestic terrorists or any kind of criminals. Parents have been complaining about the education of their children and about school boards since there were such things as school boards and public education. This is totally protected by the First Amendment. I take your point that true threats of violence are not protected by the First Amendment. Those are the things we're worried about here.
Okay, so that sounds like it makes sense, right?
Yeah.
Except, why do you send a memo? Now, Jim Jordan, I'm not always the biggest Jim Jordan guy, but Jim Jordan hammered him today on some of this stuff. And hopefully I'm not going to play this out of order because I have a bunch of cuts here.
First sentence of your memo, very first sentence, you said, in recent months, there's been a disturbing spike in harassment, intimidation, threats of violence.
Yes.
When did you first review the data showing this so-called disturbing uptick?
So let's remember, there was a letter that was sent from the National School Board Association. The Justice Department flips this around very quickly, puts this memo out warning people, hey, we're going to clamp down if you're doing stuff at school board meetings, parents, we're going to consider you domestic terrorists.
So I read the letter, and we have been seeing over time threats.
Whoa, 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 whoa. I didn't ask you. So you read the letter. That's your source?
So let me be clear. This is not a prosecution or an investigation.
Is there some study, some effort, some investigation someone did that said there's been a disturbing uptick, or you just take the words of the National School Board Association?
Well, the National School Board Association, which represents thousands of school boards and school board members, says that there are these kind of threats.
Really?
When we read in the newspapers reports of threats of violence, when that is in the context of threats of violence.
The source for this, for the very first line in your memo.
Time of the gentleman has expired.
Was the School Board Association letter.
Expired. Yeah, so that's Jerry Nadler trying to cut off Jim Jordan. But you can see how that was getting a little embarrassing there. He asked him some other questions.
Did you or anyone at the Justice Department discuss the memo with White House personnel or with anyone at the White House before the memo was sent?
I did not. I don't know whether anyone discussed the memo. I am sure that the communication from the National Association of School Boards was discussed between the White House and the Justice Department, and that's perfectly appropriate.
Did you or anyone at the Department of Justice communicate with the American Federation of Teachers, the National Education Association, or the National School Boards Association prior to your memo?
I did not. I don't know.
You don't know if anyone else at the Justice Department did?
I don't know.
So Jim Jordan wanted to put into evidence here this morning, and he was stopped, this video of, and they edited a video together of all these parents that were speaking at school board meetings. African-American parents, mixed race parents, people who aren't domestic terrorists, people who are very concerned about what's happening in schools and how they're indoctrinating children.
Let's call it what it is. They are saying that moms are now domestic terrorists because we are standing up for our children.
CRT is racist. It is abusive. It discriminates against one's color.
Just coming off of May 31st, marking the 100 years of the Tulsa riots, it is sad that we are even contemplating something like critical race theory.
So many of these parents that you're hearing in this, this is what they tried to get before the committee so Mary Carlin could watch this. It was refused by Jerry Nadler today, but these are, in many cases, black parents saying this.
Way through college, sat there and hustled my butt off to get through college. You gonna tell me somebody that looked like all y'all white folks kept me from doing that? Are you serious?
We've played several of these bites. You know, some of these have been audio cuts of the day throughout this summer at these school board meetings with these terrible terrorist parents.
Trust either, although they are victims. Racism in America would by and large be dead today if it were not for certain people and institutions keeping it on life support.
All right, so then there is one more. I think they have, hopefully I haven't played this one. Let's see, Merrick Garland, Jim Jordan.
Americans aren't going to tolerate it. When the Attorney General of the United States sets up a snitch line on parents, Americans aren't going to tolerate it. I think they're going to stand up to this accelerated march to communism that we now see. America's going to fight the good fight. They're going to finish the course. They're going to keep the faith because Americans value freedom.
Here is, this is good too. This is Steve Chabot. Maybe you mispronounced it. He's a Republican from Ohio.
We ought to be encouraging parents to be actively involved in the education of their children. After all, if our children are to be competitive with the children of Japan and South Korea and India and, yes, China, for tomorrow's jobs, they better be getting a top-notch education in this country. Let's support and welcome parental involvement, not use the vast powers of federal law enforcement to target parents as domestic terrorists.
So Doug High is going to come on here in a couple of minutes to analyze several things that are going on. We're going to talk about Virginia, because what's happening in Virginia now is absolutely fascinating. And I mentioned this yesterday, that the polling is certainly showing that Terry McAuliffe's in trouble and the race is tightening up. Now, look, this is a it's a blue state. It's pretty blue. It's not something that is purple or certainly red. So the expectation is that McAuliffe's going to win this. But Glenn Youngkin is putting big dents into Terry McAuliffe on these CRT issues, on the issue of parents and masking and education. These are the things that are important to people. Now, McAuliffe put his chips in on anti-Trump, and he put it in on COVID. That's not where people are right now. They're talking about other things. So that's going to be interesting to see develop. So we have Doug coming up here. You know, we talked a lot about the Chappelle special yesterday. I want to circle back to that in a second. But I saw something from my friend Dan O'Donnell at WISN. He's in Milwaukee. There's an Oshkosh school. Oshkosh, I guess that would be northwest of Milwaukee, somewhat in the middle of the state. But they're changing their policy, and they're not going to tell parents if their own kids have changed their pronoun and their name. It's actually quite stunning. So on the Chappelle thing, and he's seen the closer as well, Sue. Did you see any of the video from the protests yesterday?
No, I did not watch any of it.
Think about what happened in this country yesterday. You have a major streaming service, television streaming service, however you want to refer to it, that has a comedy special from a famous comedian. And there are employees at that company that are walking out because they think it's hateful, right? And there are some people that are showing up with signs that say, you know, we love Dave, or Dave's funny. Innocuous like that. So the transgender protesters, you're going to hear, this is more like Nat Sound, which is, that's a news business term, right, Sue?
Yeah.
Natural sound.
Yes.
That, you know, television stations use the natural sound. We do, too, to play in the background. So it's not necessarily a sound bite. But you'll hear some of this happening. The guy's got a sign, and the protesters rip the sign apart. Grabbing this guy and they're taking his sign apart because he says, what did it say, Dave? It said, I like Dave, or Dave
yeah,
tells funny
like
jokes. Something
mm-hmm.
stupid. Now, at one point here, when they tear the sign off, all he's left was a stick.
He's got a weapon.
So I want to play that part again. So
Wait a minute.
Okay.
Wait a minute.
It's hard to do this on the audio. They take the sign. So imagine you have a sign.
A guy is carrying a sign.
You have a wooden stick,
yeah.
And that sign is on the stick. They rip the sign off, but he's left with the stick.
And they did
it. And they say that he's got a weapon. And then you'll hear his voice because he starts mocking them.
Oh, my God.
The guy keeps it cool, you know, to
mm-hmm.
his credit.
Good.
He's like, yeah,
good,
look
good.
At it. He's like, I got a weapon, right.
He's got a weapon!
Yeah, he's repeating their chants.
He's got a weapon!
That's him laughing at them because it's just so funny.
Oh, you want me to drop my weapon?
Yes.
Hey, Emily.
There's my weapon.
Excuse
me.
It's unbelievable. So you don't have freedom of speech. If you think Dave Chappelle is funny, if you think Dave Chappelle is not full of hate, if you actually think that it's something that should have the freedom to exist on Netflix. You know, I was talking to someone last night that said, you better get a hard copy of this thing. Because when that whole deal with Netflix is done, I'm assuming, and maybe we can assume at this point, they're not going to pull it down. All right, let's hope.
I'm hoping not.
Well, I would not rule it out. I wouldn't rule it out. But let's say they don't. All right.
Uh-huh.
Well, there's limited runs for these things. They have contracts, and then, you know, if something's up on Amazon or Netflix, you can, I think, in the future renegotiate these things unless there's exclusivity. But in this case, it'll go away, and then you'll never be able to find it again. It'll just be gone because it's not like they're making DVDs. So if you can rip a DVD of this thing, you might want to do it. That sounds extreme, doesn't it?
It does sound extreme.
Do we live in America or are we in communist China or something like that? Because I honestly can't believe that I'm talking about trying to make a hard copy of a comedy special to save it so I might be able to show it to my kids in the future.
I think
is this East Germany?
I think it's very important to show people in the future, too.
I agree.
The lessons that can be learned from this and for the future.
Well, you know, and the more I thought about it, and I would say it again, and I talked last night to a good friend who is gay who watched it, and he thought it was hilarious and impactful as well. So my advice to folks, again, is even if you don't think... Now, there's harsh language in here, okay? So if you're not down with that...
Oh, yeah, this is not for the kids.
And Chappelle uses the N-word in his way, but... Watch it even if you don't think it's your deal, because I'm telling you, you're going to come away from it and say, wow.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Next hour, of course, Jane Duker, Mike Elam, Donna Behringer, all on the Reardon Roundtable. Tomorrow, Dan Buffa on Dune and more. Doug High is a KFTK 97.1 political insider, CNN political contributor, joins me this afternoon to talk about a variety of issues. Welcome back, Doug. How are you?
It's great to be with you.
So, wait a second here. I'm tipped before you join me on the air that you saw our friend Mr. Springsteen over the weekend.
Yeah, so he and Little Steven's autobiography has come out. By the way, it's extraordinary. And he did a conversation with Bruce in Asbury Park at a bowling alley, as you would expect.
Right.
And then a reading from Richie Sambora, Nona Hendricks, John Stewart, and Steve Buscemi. And it was just fantastic.
I got to get the book. I got to get Steve on. You know, I've interviewed most members of the E Street Band, including Steve, a couple of times. Actually interviewed him for television, not for radio. So I got to see if I can get him on to talk about the book, and I'm fascinated by his perspective. So for those people who don't know, Miami Steve Van Zandt from The Sopranos and television fame, but also longtime lead guitarist for the E Street Band. So that's fantastic. And you've read the book?
I read the book. It's called Unrequited Infatuations. It is just phenomenal. I'm from that. I was born in that part of New Jersey where kind of E Street grew up. And in fact, he lived about three blocks away from my first house as a very, very small infant. And so that's probably part of where my E Street loyalties have come from.
That's awesome. Well, they're about to release the No Nukes stuff, too. And Tom Zimney, who did some of these other great videos that they worked on, including Letter to You, is behind, you know, compiling that. So I'm really looking forward to that in a couple of weeks as well. Doug, let's talk politics. Did you see, I've spent a fair amount of the day watching and listening to Merrick Garland and his testimony, and I'm scratching my head about a few things, including how someone thought it was a good idea to first and foremost nominate him as a Supreme Court justice, and second of all, how to nominate him as Attorney General. Now, if you were coming into this not knowing who this guy was, I don't think you would have rated that performance today very well for Merrick Garland. It didn't seem to be his best moment.
No, not at all. And look, this is one of the, I think, the dynamics that people often lose sight of in Washington, that as much as there's a partisan gulf, and there obviously is, there's always a tension between the House and the Senate. There's always a tension between the administration and Congress, and then obviously the House and Senate within that as well. And I think that's part of what we saw today is that, you know, even where there are very real divides, administrations sort of stick together. And it's part of what we saw with Merrick Garland today, because there will be a post-Biden presidency, and what may be available to Congress or not available is what they're interested in, and part of what we saw today with the Attorney General.
So, you know, I think that they just miscalculated on this whole parents as domestic terrorists thing, and he didn't really even seem comfortable answering the questions and insisting, no, we're not sending FBI agents to school board meetings. But that don't you think, just as a political move, that backfired on this entire administration?
Well, it's backfired for a long time now, and there's no better example of that than the Virginia governor's race.
Yes.
Where, you know, Terry McAuliffe, you know, basically said, I don't want parents determining what is taught or not taught in schools. And that may be one issue. But the way that was then interpreted by voters who, you know, wanted their children to go to schools for a year and a half and couldn't, was different. And he basically, instead of cleaning it up and said, of course, I want parents involved in schools, and then saying whatever teacher union rhetoric he wanted to, he really doubled down on it. And it's part of the reason that his race is really in jeopardy right now. If we're talking 6 months ago, I would tell you that it might be a little closer in Virginia than it should be, but there's no way Terry McAuliffe loses. Right now, there's a very real way that he could lose.
Well, you kind of led me into my main line of questioning with you, because I knew you would be dialed into this. We should make it clear a couple of things here so people in Missouri and listening here in Illinois know. This was a state that Joe Biden won 10 points, right? It was a pretty big win for Joe Biden in Virginia. It's not a purple state. This is a blue state, right, Doug?
It is blue. It's a blue tinge of purple. You know, Hillary Clinton won it in 2016, and to me, the first sign that Trump was going to win was that Hillary Clinton had trouble in Virginia. When the numbers were closer than expected, that's when I realized that Trump had a real shot here, and obviously ultimately, you know, won. It's been leaning more blue in its purpleness. There have been close races, but Terry McAuliffe had been governor before, so statewide elected. It's not his first campaign. This shouldn't have been a problem, even dealing with the unpopularity of Biden nationwide and in Virginia. And part of what makes Virginia interesting is you have the immediate area outside of Washington, D.C., which has a lot of government workers. So, you know, pick your department or your agency, your Department of Energy, your National Transportation Safety Board, the Small Business Administration. A lot of people who work there live in Northern Virginia. Then there's the rest of the state, which is very different politically, especially in the rural areas.
Do you think, you know, at this point, the polling is tightening up? That sometimes naturally happens. I think there's a big opportunity for Republicans, but I thought this was interesting. I've got to pull it up on the on the Twitter here. I'm sure you know Josh Krasauer from the National Journal.
Who's absolutely
a guest. Yeah, he's a great guy. But he tweeted this out yesterday about some of the things that were happening in Virginia when it comes to the priorities. And if I can find the tweet, I don't even tweet that much, Doug. Okay, the top two issues in Virginia, this is per that Monmouth poll, 45% say jobs, 41% say schools. Terry McAuliffe says people care about COVID. 23% said COVID. So Youngkin's message has been focused on the economy and education. McAuliffe's running on vaccine mandates and Trump. That seems like another miscalculation on the part of a key Democrat.
Well, it does. And if your priority is schools, It can tell you exactly where that voter is, and they're not with Terry McAuliffe. On jobs, okay, bit of a different issue. McAuliffe tried to position himself as a jobs governor. Part of his challenge is that a lot of the deals that he announced didn't really come into fruition. But why this matters is ultimately, if we go back to 2009, when Republicans won in Virginia and in New Jersey, which won't happen this time, but I can tell you, having been in New Jersey, you know, this weekend and last week, it's going to be closer than it should be, is when we won in Virginia, we won in New Jersey, that was a real harbinger for 2010. Obviously, Republicans took back the House. And if Terry McAuliffe loses, Democrats are going to have things happening in their pants. That's how bad it is for them right now. They're nervous. They're palpably nervous. If you talk to, you know, Democrats here around town who are involved in Senate races or House races or obviously at the White House, they're nervous. But McAuliffe losing, which he may not, but if McAuliffe loses, it's going to be a very real political soreness for Democrats. And we're going to start seeing those reverberations immediately.
Yeah, that is going to be fascinating. I'm trying not to get my hopes up too much because obviously if Youngkin loses and McAuliffe wins, they'll say, look, see, we told you so. We were right. Republicans, people don't care about this. So I think there's some risk here in putting a little bit, you know, maybe too many of the chips in on Glenn Youngkin to see what happens there. Hey, Doug High, is Joe Manchin going to caucus with Republicans? He says it's BS. He used a different word, but there has to be something maybe a little bit to that, isn't there?
No, okay. Absolutely not.
Okay, well, it's BS.
If I'm wrong, I will come on and you can publicly flog me. But right now, Joe Manchin is potentially, although you could say this about Kristen Sinema as well, the most powerful senator out of the 100. So why would he change anything? You know, if he were to switch parties, his leverage is gone. So why would he do it?
Yeah, that doesn't make any sense to me. And, I have a soundbite I was looking for it here from our former Senator McCaskill saying that he looks weak. No, I think he's got a lot of power right now.
Look, absolutely. And, you know, keep in mind that if he switches and becomes a Republican, you know, he's then just one more of the bunch. Right now, with a Democratic administration, he has an ear and a line in that administration that he wouldn't have if he switched parties.
So do you have a handle right now on what the hell is going on with these pieces of legislation that have yet to make it to the president's desk?
Oh, I'll be honest. I don't think anybody has a real handle on it. The reality is Democrats know that they need to pass something. Just listen to Terry McAuliffe. Every day he's out there telling Democrats it's not about numbers. It's not about $1.5 trillion or $3.5 or, you know, somewhere in the middle. He says you just have to do something. And it's part of why Democrats are really unmotivated right now. It's part of why, you know, one of Biden's reasons for existing in the presidency was he's a guy who's going to be able to get things done. He's the deal cutter. And if that doesn't happen with his own party and majority, even though they're small majorities in the House and Senate, there's that voter motivation, dissipates. And so they'll get something. What it is, I don't think anybody has any real idea.
You know, it's interesting to me, just as an observation, Doug, the two sides, the Democrats and Republicans, they love to pounce on poll numbers and say, look how bad the other guy's doing and all that. But with Joe Biden, I got to tell you something. This cratering is so severe on multiple fronts. And I'm hearing it, you know, this is anecdotal. I'm sure you do this too. But I talk with friends who are more independents, voted for, you know, Joe Biden. They're disappointed. So, you know, that this is happening in certain situations across the country. Are you surprised by how bad they can't seem to really steer the ship back on track?
I'm surprised at some of the messaging, which just seems to be repetitively bad. Look, some things are, you know, when you're a president, are in your control. Some things aren't. But everything has seemed to kind of go wrong here. And it's why you're just seeing no enthusiasm. And politically, here's why it matters. 2010 at the Republican, when I was at the Republican National Committee, our magic number for Obama was 46. We felt that if Obama was at 46 or below, we were going to take back the House. He was at 45 on election day. If Biden is at 43, 42, 38, it's a real problem for Democrats. Nationally, and it's why you're starting to see some of these, more long-term House of Representative members, Democrats, resign. They're like, yep, we're done.
Yeah, I think it's fascinating. All right, I have two more. We'll finish. We're going to close with two entertainment questions, okay?
Lightning round.
All right, here we go, Doug. Are you watching impeachment? I can't remember if you said you were or not.
I'm not.
It's pretty interesting. It really is. And it's, you know, like
I have seen the first episode of Succession.
Well, I've heard, and I got to get back to that. But, you know, the thing with impeachment, I keep going back and fact-checking it. So this week, there was a situation, you know, the moment where Clinton comes out and says, I did not have sexual relations with that woman. So they recreated that, and, you know, we all have our memories of the moment. I looked back at the transcript. They recreated it verbatim, exactly what he said in that White House appearance when he was denying the relationship. So it's I didn't like the first episode, but I do think it's taken us down some very interesting paths, and it's entertaining. The other question is, I've been talking about it a lot the last couple of days because I think I'm a little late to the game, maybe a week and a half late to the game, but I finally watched The Closer. Have you seen it?
I have not seen that. Come on, you're asking me the things I haven't seen.
You have to watch The Closer. I'm going to insist that you watch it because it is more... It really, I mean, it's a comedy special. It's much more than a comedy special, and I think that it deserves to be seen. It is probably the most thought-provoking... I think it's the most thought-provoking piece of entertainment I've seen in a while, certainly this year.
I promise you I will watch it. The only other kind of pop culture entertainment thing I can say is I am still palpably upset with the James Bond movie. It angered me to no end, without giving a spoiler away. So I'm still a little tense on it, as you can probably
tell. You know, and I've heard that from some, I have not seen, I missed the screening a couple weeks ago. Sometimes when I miss those critic screenings, I don't get into the theater. But so you had some issues overall or just something that happened as a plot point?
Again, not to give away any spoilers. I am palpably upset with the movie.
Wow.
And for me to not like a James Bond movie that, by the way, has Lea Seydoux, that I have very personal but appropriate feelings for, is really saying something.
All right. Hashtag MeToo Radio moment. Doug High, always great to have you on. We appreciate it. Catch up on those little entertainment bits. Watch The Closer. You're going to love
it. I will watch The Closer, I promise.
All right, Doug. Take care. Thank you.
You too. Thank you. Flip down the hole.
Might have to publicly flog Doug High as we were wrapping up that conversation. You know, he said, I asked the question, I said, is there anything to the Joe Manchin switching parties, caucusing? He says, no. And if I'm wrong, you can flog me. There's a little nuance to this, but this just came out, actually. So Joe Manchin was asked by reporters about this report that circulated yesterday, and he said no. But he disclosed, this is new information, he disclosed a conversation in which he said that if he were ever an embarrassment, his words, to Democratic colleagues and the president, if, quote, me being a moderate centrist Democrat, if that causes you a problem, let me know and I'd switch to an independent, but I'd still be caucusing with Democrats. That's the only thing that was ever discussed. No one accepted that. And I said, I'll make that offer if you need it. Manchin said he told reporters that his offer was not accepted. He denied that that was the confrontation portrayed by David Corn, who reported that in Mother Jones. So there's a little to that, right? There's a little bit to that, although it's different if you're going to caucus with the Democrats. Caucusing with the Republicans would certainly change the game. Dan O'Donnell is back with me this afternoon. He is a talk show host in his own right, WISN in Milwaukee. We worked together for many years. Danny, how are you? Welcome back.
I am doing fantastic, Mark. What's going on?
It's like Wisconsin week on the show because I heard this guy, saw this guy, and I was unfamiliar with this restaurant called the Packing House there off Layton in Milwaukee. Chris White.
Yeah.
Yeah, Chris was on Fox, and he had him on yesterday talking about the supply chain. You can't get cod for fish fries. Good Lord, O'Donnell.
No.
What's going to happen to the state of Wisconsin if that happens?
I'm telling you, if they run out of brandy for old fashions, it might be like the potato blight in Ireland in the 1800s. You could see mass starvation.
Oh, my goodness. So I follow you on the Twitter, and you broke, you know, I've been talking a lot about some of this stuff with critical race theory and some of the gender nonsense that's going on. But you broke a pretty interesting story this week, didn't you?
Yeah, it was absolutely fascinating that the the Oshkosh Area School District in Oshkosh, Wisconsin, which is sort of the northeastern, north central part of the state, kind of near Green Bay, for your listeners down in St. Louis, sort of halfway between Green Bay and Milwaukee. The school district there I happened to intercept a memo to staff in which they instructed staff that teachers, support personnel, anybody working for the school district no longer has to tell parents if their children are going by a different gender. For example, let's say there's a student named Johnny, but at school he prefers to be called Jana. and instead of using he, his, her pronouns, decides to use she, her, hers. The school district has changed its policy and no longer needs to inform the parents that essentially the child is a transgender student while at school.
So the kids can come into school, they can claim they are whoever they claim they are, right? And that's cool with the school district and the parents don't need to know anything about it.
Yes, that is basically it, yes.
This is, it's woke Wisconsin on steroids, Dan, isn't it?
Yes, this is, I'm actually kind of surprised because about a year ago, Madison, which is about the wokest place on earth this side of San Francisco.
That's like Moscow, right? Like, Moscow, that Moscow is to Russia as Madison is to Wisconsin.
Well, it's actually funny. The longtime mayor of Madison, Wisconsin, Paul Soglin, was actually given the key to the city of Moscow, or I forget what the story goes. He honeymooned in Moscow. I mean, it's a dead. I wish I could remember this from like the early 1980s. But the city of Madison actually did the exact same thing a year ago. Here's where the story gets really interesting. A judge issued an injunction against the city of Madison school district enforcement of that policy. The judge said, look, it's a probable violation of parents' 14th Amendment rights to have a say in their kids' education for you to not tell them about something as significant as whether they're identifying as a different gender while at school. So almost exactly a year to the day after this injunction, Oshkosh is doing the exact same thing. I'm not sure why they expect a different result.
That would not be – now, Madison I get, Dan, because I know Wisconsin. Oshkosh, yeah. That seems surprising to me that they would be that woke in that part of the state.
Well, it was surprising to me too, Mark, until I learned who the superintendent was, a guy by the name of Dr. Brian Davis, who comes from the Milwaukee suburb of Shorewood.
Oh, there you
now,
go.
This is,
that's enough said.
This is sort of this is the Madison of the Milwaukee area, okay? This is like the Berkeley of the Wisconsin.
Okay. Let me put it into perspective for my peeps down here. This is like Webster Groves, okay, here in St. Louis. That's Shorewood, essentially.
So they actually made national.
Without a lake. There's no lake in Webster Groves. But go ahead. I'm sorry, Dan.
It's a beautiful, beautiful community being totally run into the ground by people like Dr. Brian Davis a few years ago. Another story, weirdly enough, that I happen to break. I apparently am just following this guy around to different jobs and reporting on his craziness. About 5 years ago, actually probably 3 years ago, they canceled, Shorewood High School actually canceled a performance of To Kill a Mockingbird.
No, they didn't.
Because a group of parents said it was racially insensitive.
It's actually the opposite. It's like, actually the opposite of that, right?
Yes. Yes. And I was actually on the air reading passages from To Kill a Mockingbird and openly questioning whether the people protesting this had A, ever read the novel, and B, could read. And Dr. Davis actually caved to the mob and canceled the performance of To Kill a Mockingbird. Now that I think about that, I think this might have been 2019. But so this guy is the ultimate in woke virtue signaling in education. But what's remarkable to me is that this seems to be just an open flaunting of the Constitution. I mean, the United States Supreme Court has held repeatedly that parents have a right to have a hand in their kids' education. It's part of the due process clause of the 14th Amendment. And the Supreme Court has upheld this right over and over and over. We already had a ruling just a year ago in Wisconsin saying you can't do this exact thing. I would expect there to be a lawsuit filed almost immediately and this to be struck down if it's not already in the process of being reversed because I, you know.
Well, they thought they could sneak it by you, O'Donnell, and they couldn't do it.
Yeah.
So good work. Hey. We're
thank
out of time.
You.
Did you watch the Merrick Garland disaster today? Did you? That gave you some show prep for tomorrow. I guarantee you.
Oh boy! I wanted to go on today to talk about that.
It was stunningly bad, actually.
Yeah.
Very much looking forward to seeing the left try to defend that nonsense, Dan. I'll leave with the same way I did with Chris Wyken yesterday. This is the official Wisconsin way. Ready? Go Pack, go.
Yeah.
God bless. We'll see you.
Thanks, buddy.
See you, buddy.
About a
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.